just remain standing, if you will, turn in your Bible to 1 Kings chapter number 17. 1 Kings chapter number 17. I'm deviating from our study in Proverbs tonight. I was working on getting it ready earlier this week, and be honest with you, yesterday I felt like the Lord was leading me in this direction, and I worked on this yesterday and last night and then some more today, hopefully to have it ready for you and to be able to preach from the scriptures on these thoughts. But I appreciate, I'm glad the Bible's good wherever you cut it. Amen. It's all good. And it's wonderful, wonderful. I heard somebody tell one time about a fellow, he was a brick mason, and he was always sending his gopher down the road to a deli. And he'd, every day at lunch, he'd order a half pound, thank you, brother, a half pound of center cut bologna. He said, I don't want the junk on the ends, I want the center cut. And after about a week of that, six or seven times that fella coming by, the fella at the deli finally told him, he said, feller, it don't matter where you cut it, bologna's bologna. Well, this Bible's not bologna, but it don't matter where you cut it, it's always good. Amen. Amen. I'd say it's always top rate. I guess that's the best way to say amen. Amen. Prime. Amen. It's always good. And I thank God for it. But the text I'm looking at is a very familiar text to you. And, of course, you know the story of Elijah and his deal with Ahab and the fact that he said that it wasn't going to rain. And Brother Steve talked through this back just a few years ago. And it was a blessing. But I want to start looking at verse number 8. I'm going to deal with his trip to Zarephath. And speak about that deal there with the widow at Zarephath, all right? Verse number 8 of 1 Kings chapter number 17. Verse number 8 says, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, by the way, y'all help me, verse 9. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Verse 11, and as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Verse 16 will be the last verse we read. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Elijah. Stop our reading there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Steve, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Well, I like it. The weather's warming up, but it's been mighty warm in here. Amen. And I like it when you got a little bit of stirring air, especially when you got something blowing hot air in the pulpit. Amen. You need it cooled down in the congregation, but we'll try to be more than just hot air. I want to look at this text tonight. And as I said, it's familiar. We've studied it in Sunday school probably, different ones have read it, heard sermons on it, different things, and you know the story. But let me give you the lead up to it, and I'll give you a little bit of my message before I give you my title. So, Brother Steve, just hang on, and I've been working on this title. I hadn't had a long title in a while, so I got one tonight. And Amen. But Elijah, you know the situation. Elijah showed up one day and pointed his finger at Ahab and said, God said it's not going to rain. Now, he made it pretty plain that it's because of the sin of Ahab and Jezebel. Because of the sin of the people of Israel. He said that God's going to withhold rain. Matter of fact, the way he said it was, until he gave word. Until Elijah gave word, it wasn't going to rain again. He didn't know how long that was going to be. I mean, he didn't say how long that was going to be. We didn't. I don't think that Ahab knew how long that was going to be is my idea on that. But we know that it lasted 3.5 years. And Elijah was told by the Lord in those first verses, verse number 3 particularly, he said, turn yourself eastward, go, hide thyself by the brook Cherith. And God said, I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And those ravens brought Elijah food twice a day, evening and morning, the Bible said. They brought Elijah that flesh, and he drank of the brook. And then the day came when the brook dried up. And God said, well, let me just stop. The brook dried up and the text we read picks up right there. Now, I appreciate Elijah in that Elijah did what he did at the commandment of God. The scripture just jumps out. Elijah just jumps out of the pages of the Bible from obscurity. Just jumps out in chapter 17, verse 1, out of nowhere. And it doesn't say that God told him to go to Ahab and say these things, but we know that he did. Later we'll find out, we'll see it over and over, that Elijah is moving at the prompting of God. But Elijah went to Cherith. He didn't just pick it because it was the largest river. It wasn't the largest river in Israel. He didn't pick it because it was the most strategic location. Matter of fact, Elijah didn't pick that place at all. God picked it. God told Elijah where to go, and Elijah went. Elijah didn't have the ability, I don't think he had those ravens' phone number, to call them and say, could you pick me up a cheeseburger, double order of fries? I don't think he had the ability to make his orders that way. Amen? And amen. I don't know if those ravens was working for DoorDash at that time or not. But God said for those ravens to bring, and matter of fact, God said to Elijah, you go hide there, I've already ordered the ravens. The ravens are going to take care of you. Amen. What was Elijah's job? Elijah's job was to obey God, understanding not. How can a little brook survive 3.5 years of drought? Well, we find out it didn't survive 3.5 years of drought. Matter of fact, one of the commentators that I read after said that the brook Cherith, the name of it, indicates drought, that it seems like that it was a brook that was maybe dried up almost as much as it ran. That it was common for that brook to dry up. But God said, I'm gonna feed you with the ravens and you're gonna drink water out of the brook. But the day came the brook dried up in verse number 7, and it said because there had been no rain in the land, and you don't see Elijah packing his bags and moving out and said, I got to find greener grass. I got to find something better. I got to take care of old number one. I got to look at. No, Elijah just waited on God, which is good advice, by the way. He just waited on God. And verse 8, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise. I believe that's when he got up. Amen. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. Now, boy, that's something. And dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. That there. You've heard Brother Blue said those five letters is the zip code. Right there is where he's supposed to be. When he was there, the ravens would bring him food. When he was there, the widow woman would sustain him because she was there. He had to be there. And Brother Blue talks about, are you there? Amen. A lot of people are a lot of places, but they're not there where God says for him to be. So our account takes up immediately after the brook dried up and God sends him those orders. Now, as you read this, we read it really from view of Elijah's standpoint because he's the character we're studying when we're going through this most of the time. But I want to look at it from the perspective of the widow and her son, if I can, think about what she must have been thinking and think about how she reacted and all those kind of things, thinking of it from the widow's perspective. So here's my title. I'm going to preach tonight on this thought. Living on top of the world while you're scraping the bottom of the barrel. living on top of the world while you're scraping the bottom of the barrel. This widow woman was not living on top of the world when Elijah got there. She was scraping the bottom of the barrel. We're not accustomed to those two phrases going together. We understand the phrase living on top of the world means you got it made. You got the world, as old saying, you got the tiger by the tail. You got the world by the tail. Everything's going good. It's a sunshiny day. Everything's wonderful. Then the other, scraping the bottom of the barrel, doesn't mean that things are successful. It means that things are a disaster, that everything's falling apart. And we look at it that way. And she was in that place of extreme despair and depletion of her needs and her wants. She's in a place that she doesn't have anything. Now, I want to think about four primary things about this, and I'm going to use the pronoun there because her and her son are included in this. She's the one making the decisions. I personally believe that the son's a young son. I'll say something about that later on. I have reason to believe that, that he's a young son and that she is the decision-making person. I want us to look at this as if this young son is a maybe a toddler or just a little bit more than a toddler boy. And yet they're working together. So the first thing I notice their condition. Then we're going to talk about their consecration. Then we're going to talk about their contribution. And last of all, we'll talk about their consequence. But their condition, first of all. And look at verse number 10. There's a phrase in verse number 10 that I've highlighted. The Bible says, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. You see that in verse number 10? I underlined that whole phrase is highlighted, but I underlined the word there because God said, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And she was there. She was there. But her condition is she's gathering of sticks. First thing you know about this widow woman is that she has lost her husband. Her husband has passed away. She's a widow woman. She's a destitute woman. Her son, I said, I think is small, and he's fatherless, and he's hungry. More than likely, she's hungry too. I'll say more about that in a minute. She's out here not counting her $100 bills, inspecting her CDs. No, she's here gathering two sticks, going to make their final meal, and they're going to die. They're going to eat it and die. She's living during a prolonged drought, a severe drought and famine, and her supplies have been deleted. Her supplies have been drained. You felt that way before, hadn't you? You felt, I mean, probably everybody's done this. I have done it in the past. Pull the plug out of the bathtub and watch the water go down and think, that's how I feel. That's how I feel. Like just about everything is going down that drain. Amen. Well, that's where she was. She was drained. Now, here's something else about this woman, her condition. She's not a Jew. She's not a Jew. She's a widow woman. Jesus said Zarephath here, Zarephath here. It says Zarephath. She's a widow woman, and Zarephath is a place that belongs to the Zidonians. Brother Steve pointed out when he taught Sunday school, this is the home territory of Jezebel. When God said, turn and go to Zarephath of the Zidonians, or of Zidon, which belongeth unto Zidon, Elijah had to think, Lord, that's enemy territory. Those are not friendly people to us. Those are not God's people. Those are enemies to the people of God. So here she is. These are a heathen, godless people that surround her. The very people where Jezebel came from. When Elijah first meets this woman, she is definitely not living on top of the world. She's destitute. She is literally scraping the bottom of the barrel. She's gathering of sticks. That's what verse 10 said. Gathering of sticks to make a small fire. She don't even have a woodshed full of sticks. She's got to go hunt outside the city. He's come to the city. He gets to the gates. There she is. She's got to go hunt for a couple of sticks. She's going to make a small fire to fix a small lunch, and she expects to die after she eats that meal. She expects this is the end of it. Matter of fact, verse number 12 informs us that she was gathering only two sticks. In verse number 12, she says that in that phrase, I am gathering two sticks. She didn't need a fire to last through the night. She wasn't sure she would. She didn't need a fire to help her make more than those two cakes. I mean, she's at the bottom of the barrel. She's at the end as far as she's concerned. That's her condition. Now think about it. Think about this woman. She's getting two sticks because she didn't need any more. She couldn't dream of needing anymore. Didn't think she ever would. This exact number is given to us from the scripture to show us that this woman has given up. This is it. She realizes it is. She's at the end and she's scraping the bottom of the barrel. Now, think about this woman and her son, their condition, just a little here. The case of this woman and her son is desperate. It's a desperate case. God told Elijah, I want you to go there because she's going to help you, if I could paraphrase it that way. He gets there and she's in no condition to help anybody. Matter of fact, she needs help. Right? That's right. He goes there to get help. She's in no condition to give help. She needs some help in her condition. It's desperate. I call her boy. I say he's a little boy. One of the reasons the next story and these next verses after what I read, he passes away. The little boy dies. Of course, you know the story. Elijah brings him back to life. But it looks like that he's sitting on her lap, and even a big boy, if he's dying, could be sitting on his mother's lap. But it looks like Elijah picks him up and carries him around. You see that a couple of different places. And so I imagine that this is a young child. That's the way I think. He's never, it's not mentioned him saying anything or doing anything. Just mama's got this boy. And here's what I'm looking at. Here she is. She's at the end of her rope. And not only is she drained, she's got a boy she loves more than life. And he's draining even more. And here shows up the preacher, if I could say it that way, and says, if I could say it this way, he says, God said for you to take care of me. So she is drained and being drained, but I mean, she's not regretting it. I don't think any mother regrets, at least when they're thinking in the right perspective, they don't regret having to take care of their children. They may regret the shape their children have to wind up in, the troubles they go through. Right. And that's the case of this woman that I think about here. So she's got this little boy and her husband, if this is a young little boy, then her husband hasn't been gone long. Her heart may still be sore over that situation. Amen. And she's left as a widow maybe somewhat recently. She's left, and I don't know, maybe if he was taken suddenly, unexpectedly, I don't know, but she's been left unsustained. They didn't have a cupboard full of groceries. They didn't have a woodshed full of fuel. They didn't have all of her needs prepared. And here she is, drained, when Elijah shows up. She's definitely at the bottom of her barrel. The drought and the famine have drained her even more. Here's what I think about, and I'm using my imagination. I believe you should in reading these stories, because these are people. These are not just words on a page. These are real people. Now, here's what I think about this mother with her son. Don't you think, I mean, here, she's at the end, but she didn't wait till the last day to get there. She's been worrying about this for a while. She saw it coming. When the barrel was full, all right. When the barrel's half full, you know it's going to run out. When the barrel's only got a quarter left, it's getting close. She saw this happening. So I think as a good mother, she's probably tried everything she can try. Who knows what she has sold to be able to have the meal and the cruise ball she's got. She says to him, I don't have a thing. All I've got is just a handful of meal and a little cruise of oil. I don't have anything. So I imagine she's in a bankrupt state. Amen. And so she has been, I think, doing everything she can do to feed and care for her boy. Here's what I think. I think she probably skipped some meals already. I think that. I think more than likely she's gone hungry more than one time. Here's what I think would happen in almost any case. You know how much meal it takes to make a meal, all right? How much grain that you've got to have a meal. And so she starts cutting back on her own. Maybe eating half a cake instead of a whole cake, right? Giving him what he wants and what he needs. But then after a while, she even starts cutting him back. Instead of having regular meals, whatever time you have a meal, I like to eat at 8 in the morning and then at 9 in the morning and then at 10 in the morning and then long, you know, just every little bit. Fast in between, you know. But intermittent. That's intermittent fasting. Amen. Amen. But anyway, but I imagine instead of having breakfast, lunch, and supper, this day she probably didn't fix lunch. Waited for him to start begging for something. Not that she wanted to hear him beg, but she was dreading the day they're going to run out. Because she knew it's coming. She could see it happening. Things are getting low. It's running dry. It's getting bad. And so here she is. She started waiting until the hunger pains caused her little boy to start begging. I'm sure she said, wait just a little longer, son. Let's just put it off a little bit longer. Let's wait. Just hold on until it sent him to crying, maybe pleading and begging for something to eat. And then she'd fix it. And I imagine that she probably cried herself to sleep a number of times. Can you see this woman's frustration? Her son crying for something to eat. And her aware that she's scraping the bottom of the barrel and has been for some time now. This morning arises of all times for the preacher to show up wanting a chicken and a biscuit. Of all the times for the preacher to show up. She knew that this morning now has come and they have to have their final meal. Now you could question why she's going to eat with him. Here's what I believe. She said, well, we're going to eat it and die. Personally, my thought is this. She couldn't bear the thoughts of watching her son starve to death. And so she thought, we'll eat it together and we'll die together. We'll just do this in tandem. We'll do this together, the two of us together. And so she thinks this is the last that either of them will ever have. I'm surprised, to be honest with you, that when Elijah asked her to bring him a cake, I'm surprised that she didn't break down and crying and weeping in tears and saying, I ain't got nothing. I'm in trouble. Unless maybe she's cried till she can't cry no more. Sometimes people are in a lot worse shape than we realize they are. I mean, you pass by their house, you don't know how empty their cupboards are. Amen. You see them here and there and about their business, and most people can hide pretty well what's going on inside their heart and inside their home. That's their condition. It's hopeless. She had accepted that. She had accepted that her condition was hopeless. That's it. Now there's their consecration. Look at verse 9. Again, God speaking to Elijah saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. She had heard from God. This is her consecration. Her condition is bankrupt. But her consecration is God had spoken to her. But what God had asked her to do, she wasn't going to be able to do. She couldn't see how she could do it. I've questioned, I don't know, I've thought about it before. I wonder if God told her that if the meal barrel had plenty of meal and she thought, no problem, send him on. But God didn't send him on. The ravens are still bringing food until this day come when she don't have anything to offer him. Have you ever felt like you're at the bottom of your rope, you're at the bottom of your barrel, and you say, Lord, I need some help. And instead of God sending you help, you feel like he sends you a hindrance. Lord, I need somebody to deliver me. And instead of God sending you to deliver, seems like he sends something else to be another drain. You ever? I have. I've been right there. She heard a commandment from God. God told Elijah that he had commanded, not I will command. He said, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. But she can't even sustain herself or her little boy. How could this be? I just think, how could a woman living in the midst of heathens hear a command from God that she may not even know? A God of Israel, that's what he's called, the God of Israel. How did this woman hear from God? Was she a believer? Well, look at how she addressed Elijah when he showed up. Look at verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, look at this now. Not a widow woman, the widow woman. God said, you go to a widow, I have commanded a widow woman. But when he gets down there, he sees her and he recognizes her. Now, I don't know how he recognized her. Maybe she wasn't wearing bullfighting breeches. More than likely, most of them other Zidonians were. Amen. Maybe she wasn't all painted up. Maybe she wasn't all worldly and interesting. I don't know how he recognized her, but he saw the widow woman there gathering sticks. Right, let me read on. That's not in my notes. That's just free. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in the vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, listen, as the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. She knew something about him. She knew his name. The Lord thy God liveth. She knew who Elijah was when he showed up. He's a man of God. Again, I don't know how she knew that. I don't think he's in a three-piece suit. I doubt he's carrying a King James Bible. She knew he was God's man. And she knew his God was alive. That's the best part of it all. Amen. She's living among people that's worshiping dead gods. Gods of wood, gods of stone, gods made by men, gods imagined by men. So if I could say it, just dead gods, and yet she says, you're the man of God and your God's alive. Amen. She knew something about God. Praise God. Amen. By the way, that's a good way to live on top of the world, even when you're scraping the bottom of the barrel, is get to know God. Know God's alive in the midst of this problem. Amen. Amen. He said to her, fetch me a little water in a vessel. She didn't balk. She didn't buck. She just went to get it. Seems this woman was a kind, gentle lady. She was considerate. She was helpful. She could have said, get it yourself. I'm going to fix this and die. She just went to do it. She just went to do it. What he said, fetch me a little water. And while she's getting the water, he says, bring me a morsel of bread. Verse number 11. She replied as if she knew who he was and who he represented. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. Now, she not only spoke about the Lord, she spoke about the fact that he was alive. She knew that Elijah represented the true and living God. I don't know if she knew God. I don't know if she is on speaking terms with God. But she had heard God. And here's what I have to believe. You got a mama that's watching her baby boy starve to death. And she's wishing for some help somewhere. I'd say if she heard God speak, then she's going to speak to God. Amen. I'd say she's been talking to God about her situation. Amen. And by the way, God's going to bring his need and her need together and supply them both. by his miraculous power. Amen. That way God gets the glory. Amen. So I say maybe she did know God. Perhaps she's been talking to God about her predicament. Amen. Amen. By the way, I said sometimes, you know, when we ask God for help, it almost seems like he gives us a hindrance. It's almost like when we say, Lord, I'm up to my neck in trouble. God says, well, here's a bucket full more. God's not trying to sink us. He's trying to get us to trust him. He's trying to show us that as bad as you think it is now, it can get worse and I can still deliver. Amen. Amen. When it's the worst you've ever seen it, it can still get worse and God can still work even when it gets worse. Amen. Amen. He's trying to teach us to trust him. God's looking for faith and obedience. And by the way, he'll bless it when he finds it. So I saw their condition. I saw their consecration. Now I want you to notice their contribution. Look at verses 13 and 14. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said. After she said, I ain't got anything, I want to eat this and die. He said, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. By the way, because if she did what she said she's going to do, she made a cake and ate it and died, she wouldn't be able to make him a cake. So he said, make me one first. That's not him saying, put me first. It's not him being selfish. It's him saying, put God first. Amen. Put God first. And when you put God first, God will bless. Amen. Well, let me get back to it. The verse, make me thereof a little cake first and bring it to me and after make for thee and for thy son. Wait a minute now. There ain't enough for all that. Yep. He's going to read on verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Amen and amen. He made her a promise. He said, you know who I am? You know who I represent? Let me give you a word from God. You've already heard God say, take care of me. I'm going to tell you, you do what God said, and God will take care of you. Amen. He's given her a promise. By the way, not just today, not just this week, not just this month, until the drought is over, he said, God's going to take care of all this. Amen. Now, I think this woman was a good mother. That's how I picture her. She's been putting her little boy first. She's been feeding him, caring for him, even when she herself had to do without. But God's going to tell her she can't just keep putting him first. Listen, she's not only got to put the man of God in front of herself. She's got to put the man of God in front of her little boy. That's where the rubber meets the road. It's not just, Lord, keep me humble and I'll serve you. He don't just want you humble. He wants you wholly dedicated to him. Nothing between my Lord and the Savior. That's what he wants. Nothing between our heart and the Lord. Listen, you can be very poor and still have something between you and God. You can be very humble and still have something between you and God. You can be calling on God in prayer and still have something between you and God. And God said, you're going to have to put me first. Amen. So God's going to make her put the man of God first, not only submitting herself, relegating her needs to last place. She's going to have to sacrifice and put him ahead of her boy and make her boy last place as well. Now, looks like God's requiring this widow woman to put the man of God before herself and her boy, and obviously did require it. But in reality, it's not Elijah. It's who he represents that's got to be put first. Amen. Amen. It's not just honoring the man of God. It's honoring the God of the man of God. Amen. I will put a note here, though. I've never seen anybody that had a problem respecting the man of God that didn't also have a problem respecting God. We're not building a kingdom for ourselves, and I don't think we ought to try to build a kingdom for ourselves, but at the same time, I think we honor God, and we honor God by honoring authority that God's put in our life. Amen. I'll just plug it. I say the man of God. I can see it even further. I've never seen a wife get blessed that dishonors her husband. I've never seen children get blessed that dishonor their parents. There's a line of authority, and God has that line of authority for a purpose. And by the way, at the top of that line of authority is God. But when you break the line, it don't matter how far down the line you break the line. When you break the line, you've broken it. And it's broke all the way to God. There's a problem there. And that's the case. She's in this case. She's going to have to submit. So verse 13 told her to put the preacher first. Then verse 14 tells her about the promise of the meal barrel. It's not going to run out. The cruise oil is not going to run out until the rain comes. This promise contains the means of how this lady's going to take care of them. But it also contains the extreme, the distance it's got to go. He said, I think he's letting her know Elijah's going to be here till the rain comes. I don't know how long he was up there on that, by that brook Cherith. Some scholars believe he was there a year. Some believe he's there 6 months. Matter of fact, there's a place, and I didn't mark it. There's a place there that talks about that in the third year of his stay in Zarephath, then that's when he went, God told him, go back to Ahab and tell him, and that, you know, the deal, they go fight those prophets of Baal and brings down the fire and then prays for the rain to come. So if he was there, it looks like he might have been there at her house for 3 years of that 3.5 year drought. But God said to her, however long he's here, it's going to keep meal in the barrel, amen, and oil in the cruse. So she was going to be feeding him for quite a while yet. Amen. Last of all is their consequence. Did you notice verse 15 and 16? And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. There's a clue. It was a long time. You don't say exactly how many, but many days. Verse 16, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Amen. Again, I want to point out that this woman was a real woman. These are real people. She must, it looks like here, she must have had some knowledge of God. She must have had some reverence towards God. She recognized Elijah as God's prophet. She knew that God was alive. She apparently knew that when Elijah made this promise from God, that God's going to keep his promise. So I imagine her heart's a little lighter when she goes to the meal barrel this time than it was the last time. And she reaches down in that barrel to scoop up more meal. By the way, I don't believe that the meal just kept rising till it overflowed the top. I don't believe that. I don't believe FedEx or UPS brought another meal barrel by, dropped it off. Or Amazon or, amen. Here's what I personally believe. I believe that every time she went to get meal, she was scraping the bottom of the barrel. But she is happy even when she is scraping the bottom of the barrel. Because now she knows. She goes over there that time. This ain't the last time. But this is the first time after the promise is made. Elijah says, go make me one. So she goes back and looks down in there. He ain't full. But he made me a promise. He said it won't run out. And so she scoops out enough meal, goes and makes him a cake. And she goes back to make her boy one. I believe she put him in front of herself again. I do believe that. So she goes to make her boy one. Here's what I imagine. I imagine Miss Stephanie, she looks in there and she said, you know, don't look like there's any more meal in it than it was when I made him a cake. But it don't look like there's no less either. And so she makes her boy a cake. She brings that to her boy. She goes to make herself one. She looks down in there and says again, still don't look like there's any more in there than it was when I made both of them a cake. But they don't look like there's no less either. And so she makes her a cake. I can imagine a man of God, if he is a Baptist preacher, he said, I'll take a second one. She goes over there, scrapes the bottom of the barrel, makes him, maybe the little boy says, Mama, if they's enough, could I have another one? Been skipping meals. And so Mama makes him, and maybe she took a second. Here's my point. She's still scraping the bottom of the barrel, but she can rejoice in her God because she knows God's going to take care of her. What's the key to all that? The key is obedience. Really. Trust and obey. We sing that song, there's no other way. Amen. To be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. I imagine that I imagine she went back the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next, however many days. If it was 3 years, there's a lot of days there, nearly over 1,000 days. Still scraping the bottom. But I imagine every now and then, she just had to say, thank you, Lord. Amen. Every now and then she'd think, Lord, I asked for help and I got more than I expected. Lord, you told me to take care of the man of God, and I was willing to do it, but I didn't know how I was going to do it. I couldn't see how it could be done. But Lord, I got more than I expected. And I asked you, and you gave me more than I asked for. And Lord, you've just been so good. You've given me exceeding abundantly above all that I've ever even asked or thought. Amen. I don't know if she took a running spell. She could have. Amen. I don't know if she shouted glory. She could have. But I do see this. She's still scraping the bottom of the barrel. But her perspective has totally changed. She's not hopeless. She's not helpless. She's got hope and she's got help. Amen. And so she's able to live on top of the world. Amen. Even while scraping the bottom of the barrel. Now this don't happen every day. As far as I know, this is the only time it ever happened in the Bible. Amen. It's not an everyday experience. This is a once in a lifetime miracle. Amen. Once in a lifetime miracle that God provided exactly what this woman needed. But I'm going to tell you, something does happen every day. Maybe not just like this, but every day there's somebody has a need, and they don't see any way that that need can be met. And they go back to that meal barrel and they scrape the bottom one more time. And God says, here's you another handful of purpose. Here's enough to get you through. It happens every day. Amen. Every day. Sometimes, and all of us, we know who knows how long the economy is going to keep going. Who knows how high gas is going to get? Who knows how high inflation is going to get? Who knows if money is going to stay, you know, in good for anything? Who knows if our jobs are going to stay? Who knows if our health's going to hold up? Who knows how we're going to make it come, you know, down the road? But here's one thing I know. There's a God in heaven that's got it all under control. Amen. Amen. He's got it all under control. Amen. We might find ourselves scraping the bottom of the barrel, but we can be living on top of the world even when we're scraping the bottom of the barrel. Let's stand to our feet as they come on a song. I'll just ask a few questions. Are you there? She was there. God told Elijah to go there. Maybe you're there. There where the barrel is almost empty. There where the cruse of oil is almost dry. Are you there? Are you there where God said for you to do something and you say, Lord, I don't know how I can. Lord, I don't know how I can pay tithes. I'm having a hard enough time living on this 90%. I don't know if I can. I might need that whole 100. I might need 110. I don't know if I can give that faith promise that you told me to give. I don't know if I can do what you've asked me to do. What God's looking for is faith and obedience. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for reminding us this story of this widow woman. And Lord, I rejoice in the times you've provided for me and for those that I know. And I've seen and heard the stories again and again and again. And it never grows old, the stories of how God supplies again. Lord, I pray that you'd help. There's some here, no doubt. They've got needs we don't even know about. They feel like they're gathering a couple of sticks. That's all they need, is a couple of sticks, because they're almost to the end. Lord, I pray you'd help them to trust God, to believe God, to obey God. Whatever you say, do, just to do it and see you come through and get glory. Father, I pray, help those that are unsaved. Maybe they're like this woman in a heathen land surrounded by heathens. Maybe they'll hear of a true and living God and they'll realize He is alive. And if He's alive, He can help me. Lord, I pray they'd see that and they'd come to you for help. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If the Lord spoke to you and you need to come, I want to give you opportunity to come pray. Maybe you need to come and thank Him. Or maybe you need to come and ask him for something. Maybe you need to come and surrender to obey. If God spoke to you, I want to give you opportunity to move.